Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on Earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagan Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagan Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagan Tonight.
And good evening, good morning, wherever you happen to be. This is the Tree of Life Power. And this is Raven Fire Doll.
And this is Samara Lunas.
And the Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people here in the Louisville, Kentucky area dedicated to providing space of earth for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about community. And tonight is our monthly Chasing Squirrels episode. Yay!
Hey, and I am on the road heading home.
You're on the road heading home, and I am actually trying something new with Ulf and Mine's computer. I'm actually coming to people through the magic of Skype. I got it to work tonight.
We got to work this time. Yay.
Yes. Yes, I got it to work this time. So please let us know how we sound. If there's an issue, I'm trying to get, chat up, but it's not, it's still not working. Huh?
So it's not cooperating like it didn't last week.
Right, right.
Had a wonderful Yule and Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. My family, I celebrate Yule, but I celebrate Christmas with my family. Of course, it's not over for me yet because we went out of town for Christmas to celebrate with my stepson, and so now I'm celebrating Christmases with the rest of my family throughout this week, which is where I'm coming from right now. I just had Christmas at my father's house. So, did I lose Ravenfire?
Yeah. How are you? I've been busy, as always, living at work.
So, but I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season. Of course, it's not over yet. We still have a little bit left. Now, I can tell you what, 2016 is trying to go out with a bang, isn't it? Okay, I feel like I'm talking to myself all of a sudden.
No. Yeah, 20. Okay, so 2016 can go to Hades.
So, for those of you that don't know, Carrie Fisher passed away a couple days ago, and then last night her mother, Debbie Reynolds, passed away. Of course, I don't know. It would be hard not to know in this day and age, but. So for all you Star Wars fans out there and everyone who follows the Force, yeah, that happened. So 2016 has not been kind to for the influential celebrities.
I know, right?
So, For those of you that don't know, tonight is our Chasing Skulls episode, so this conversation could go anywhere and everywhere, current events and whatever may happen.
Yeah, I'm still upset about the whole Carrie Fisher thing.
I even put
there's this game I play online that's a Star Wars game, and I even put RIP to the only princess I ever wanted to be, because I thought the only princess ever worth being was Princess Leia.
I used to actually fix my hair like Princess Leia in junior high. I had long hair. I wouldn't do it at school because I don't want to be called a geek. But like when I was home, at the end of the first Star Wars, well, I guess Star Wars Episode 4, where her hair was in a bun with the long braid coming out of it, I used to fix my hair like that all the time. I loved her hairstyle.
Oh, I did too.
So, do we know what else is going on in the world? Because I don't have the computer in front of me, so I don't have any, like, news.
Well, let's see. I know, right? I'm actually kind of going through Wild Hunt real quick just to kind of see what's going on.
And sorry, everyone. This was this Christmas for me tonight thing was a last minute thing. And usually I'm the one that does all the research for current events. So I kind of threw Raven Fire under the bus for this show.
Gee, thanks.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm actually looking for some good stuff. I think the first thing I kind of want to talk about is a television, or at least a certain TV show that I love and Ulf loves, and it's kind of.
Could that be Vikings?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you seen any of this season?
I haven't seen any season.
Okay, so spoiler alert for those of you all who have not watched this the past couple episodes, because I'm about to go, oh my gosh, how good some stuff is. Now, I will say this. I know Vikings are playing, in some ways, the TV show is actually playing very fast and loose with history, but in some ways, it's actually kind of awesome. Because I know one thing me and Ulf talk about is how much we love the character Ivar the Boneless. And, oh my gosh, let me tell you. Ragnar died, and now Ivar went home and is now telling his brothers to seek revenge. And the last scene of last night's episode was just, oh my gosh, seeing Ivar just crush the chess piece in his hand. And the one thing I'm really liking is how Ragnar, before all this happened, Ragnar was telling his son, you know, people are going to underestimate you at their peril, you know. People think that, you know, you're disabled. They see your body, they think you're disabled, but, you know, you have a mind that's unpredictable, and you need to use that to your advantage. And whatever you do, be ruthless. And, of course, I'm just like, oh, my gosh. So.
You know what? That explains a Facebook post I saw on Facebook, because someone said something about Ragnar or something, whatever his last name is, died. And someone was, and they were just like, F-2016. And I was like, who are they talking about? And someone else said, you mean the guy that died hundreds of years ago? And I was like, what is this? And now that you said that, that completely makes sense now. Someone just threw a spoiler alert on Facebook without saying it was a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But yeah, they blamed 2016 for that one, too. And yes, everyone has been saying people die, you know, get over it. But you got to understand, a lot of people that have died this year have been big-time influential celebrities.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, this year is just pretty hard. I mean, it's just like one person after another after another. It's like, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying to throw, let's see, throw salt circles around Betty White, Alice Cooper. Who else are they saying?
Okay, so here's my list. I want to throw it around the entire cast of Supernatural. Betty White, of course. All of Judas Priest, all of Iron Maiden, Alice Cooper, definitely. We don't have to worry about Nikki Sixx because that man has died several times and has always come back.
Keith Richards will be around until like the end of time.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about Keith Richards. Man, but it's like, it seems like a lot of our icons are just, Mark Hamill until the end of Star Wars, until Star Wars gets done.
Did you just say, as long as Star Wars gets done, you're okay?
No, I won't be okay. I really won't. I'm just saying.
Okay, I was just making sure, because there for a second there, you made it sound like, as long as Star Wars gets done, I'm okay with Mark Hamill.
I say silly things, and sometimes mean it, and sometimes don't, and, well, you know.
Oh, and someone threw a salt circle around Harrison Ford while we're at it, even though I guess he's not really doing any more of the movies, but...
Yeah, let's take care of Harrison Ford. The current cast of Saturday Night Live, especially Kate McKinnon.
Sweeney Todd was on today, and I almost started crying because I wasn't watching it, and for some reason my brain forgot that Alan Rickman was in it because I was picturing... the guy that was in the Angela Lansbury version. You know what I'm talking about, like the old one. So for some reason I was picturing him, and then all of a sudden I heard Alan Rickman's voice because I was in the other room, and I was like, oh, too many deaths. So I almost had a breakdown over Alan Rickman all over again.
Yeah, I know. The entire cast of Harry Potter, Maggie Smith, should be another person.
Oh, yeah. Someone threw a salt circle on me, Maggie Smith. So have you found anything interesting on Wild Hunt yet?
Wild Hunt's doing a lot of 2016 retrospective stuff.
What do they got?
Let me kick back over to them.
Okay, while you're kicking back over to him, let's discuss Russia, even though it may not actually have to do with the pagan community overall, but it can affect everyone. So,
okay.
I have to put myself on mute for just a second. So can you in general give people an overview of what's going on in case they haven't heard?
What part are you talking about? The whole hacking thing?
The whole hacking thing, and we just kicked all the diplomats out.
Oh, yeah. We kicked all the diplomats out of Russia. Not only that, but Russia, the CIA has evidence that Russia hacked our election. I mean, that's kind of the gist of it. And then, of course, President Obama wants to get tough with Russia, and the new president kind of doesn't want to. He actually kind of admires Putin.
Well, he doesn't want to because they influenced the election for him to be elected, first of all.
Right.
Second of all, it's kind of funny because even though he's saying, like, oh, let's just let it go, a lot of the Republicans are agreeing with Obama and saying this is actually something that should have been done a long time ago.
Right.
Which I find interesting that they're saying that. And
they,
you know,
they weren't
with what Obama has done.
We knew that they were doing this before the election, and yet they didn't speak up.
Well, I do, and I also find it interesting that, you know, that, you know, here they hacked both the Republicans. I mean, it kind of does show that they influenced the election because they hacked the Republicans, the RNC also, but only released what they found the DNC.
Right. Well, I don't know if they hacked the RNC or not.
From what I read, they did.
Okay, because from everything I read, I didn't hear anything about the RNC. It was all about the DNC.
Right, because they never released information from what I understand. So, I don't know, though. I mean, who knows anything for sure?
That seems very true.
So, let's see. Ooh, how do you say it? Paganicon?
Yep.
They are bringing Sharon Day and Arvel Looking Horse to, I guess, Paganicon, and to bring these elders in, they actually raised the money directly by members of the community in short time.
Oh, cool. That's always awesome.
And for them to be only confirmed in the last couple of weeks and all that money to be brought in when this is all usually planned out a year in advance, they did that all, like, but, yeah, so they're going to be at Paganicon, so that would be interesting. And for those that don't know, Avril Looking Horse is a Sioux chief who is recognized as a spiritual leader in all three branches of that tribe. He wrote The White Buffalo Teachings and has been a guest columnist at the news outlet Indian Country Today. He's opened numerous United Nations sessions with his prayers and has been interviewed for several films about Native American spirituality. And Sharon Day is a member of the Ojibwe, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, is executive director of the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, a Minnesota-based group that she helped found in 1987 to assist Native Americans. So that's pretty cool. And let's see. Well, some of the wrap-ups that Wild Hunt, and for those that don't know, we get a lot of our information, of course, from wildhunt.org, which is like the pagan news site. It would be neat to kind of touch on some of the stuff that they have in our roundup, like the New Hellenic Temple that was established in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. The book about Doreen Valiant, which was published this year, which I still haven't read. I'll have to see if it's on Audible because I hardly read anything. I listen to most of it anymore because I just don't have time. So, did you know that there was a Mexican heathen community that launched a magazine?
I did not.
Yeah, apparently I missed
that. I knew there was
a
Mexican heathen community south of the border. I didn't know that they.
Yeah, apparently. They launched back in March. Wild Hunt reported that they launched a magazine. That is pretty cool. I didn't know that it happened. See, you missed stuff throughout the year. Let's see, what else? Let's see. There was the the Chicago Art Collective called Witch staged a ritual to protest local housing inequality this year. And then let's see. The Phoenix Goddess Temple case, the New Orleans Benghazi story. Wait a minute, what's the New Orleans Benghazi story? I don't remember reporting that one. Do you?
I don't either.
Apparently we missed something this year. Again. Oh, that's what it was. Okay, so a New Orleans witch faced charges for stealing human bones. So this was actually this past September. Ender Darling, whose legal name is Devon Marie Machuca, is charged with several counts of trafficking in human parts and burglary of a cemetery. The charges come after a January raid on Darling's home yielded human bones. Darling, a practicing witch, caught the attention of authorities after a Facebook post offering to send human bones to other witches went viral to the point that the story got its own hashtag, Benghazi. Okay, I'm sorry, but if you're going to do something that's illegal, why would you post it on Facebook? I just don't get that.
Some people just don't post your dirty stuff on Facebook.
So it says, this is actually what she posted. About 20 minutes from my house in New Orleans, there is what we call the poor man's graveyard. Most graveyards around here are full of above-ground graves because we live in a fishbowl. There happens to be a graveyard where it's all ground graves. For those of us who are too poor to afford above-ground burial. This is when it rains, of course, bones wash up. The older the grave, the more you find. You can literally walk around and see femurs, teeth, jaws, skull caps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is where I go to find my human bones for curse work and general spells that require bones. I find human bones are easier to work with for me rather than animal.
Oh.
She said she wanted, anyways, I wanted to see if I started selling basically cover shipping to wherever you happen to be, if people would be interesting. I know that human bones aren't easy to come by, and I usually have leftovers. I only go once a month or when it rains here. She actually put them on Facebook. I mean, it's pretty... First of all, you're not doing it with permission. I mean, I don't know. I just don't get it. I mean, personally, I wouldn't use bone in my own personal rituals and practice. That's just me. I know people that use bone. Most I know use animal bone. I'm not going to say there's not people that use human bone. I'm sure there is. Probably using it without permission is not the best way to use it, in my opinion. What do you think?
I'm not comfortable using human bones.
And especially without permission.
Mm-mm.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, no. So let's see some other things that happened this year. The Fort Hood Open Circle had, kind of victimized in a way. Because they had been meeting on the military base since 1997. This story came out in February. But they were locked out of their ritual space. So they weren't able to get to it. So that happened this year, unfortunately, too.
And let's see, what else happened? Because I remember reporting on that.
Some stuff, I can tell you some stuff that is going on that would be of interest to people, especially people who are trying to fight racism. A&E was going to have a documentary series called Generation KKK. Well, they've already they filmed the series. It's complete, done, and everything. But they decided that they weren't going to air it because they found out that, because basically it was a thing of the documentary was supposed to be of people actually trying to get out of the Klan, but they had learned from the producers that some cash payments supposedly were nominal, but they were made in the field to some participants in order to facilitate access. So,
wait a minute, can you start over? I missed something. Say it again.
Okay. So apparently A&E was trying to produce a reality TV show about people trying to, you know, basically who grew up in the white supremacist movement and were trying to leave. Well, apparently it's getting canceled, and the reason it's getting canceled is because the producers were apparently paying for access, and it's a violation of, like, A&E's rules. Because the series was gonna start like the second week of January, so it was like the series was done in the can, everything. But A&E's like, nope, we're not gonna air it now. So.
Wow. And I think the show may be on season two, so I've missed all of it. But oh, gosh, I can't remember her name now, but she was a Scientologist, and now she's exposing it.
Oh, yeah, Leah Remini. Her show is awesome. I've been watching that show.
So is this the second season, and how did I miss the first season?
She hasn't done a second. She had another season. She had another reality TV show on A&E. She just decided to do this one to completely expose all the fun stuff behind Scientology.
So it's kind of a continuation of her first show.
In a way, but the first show, she really wasn't talking as much about the abuses of Scientology as she is in this show. And I mean, wow. Just wow. Watching this show. It's amazing the stuff that she's talking about.
Yeah, I haven't watched the show, but I did read one of her interviews, and I was just like, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's what's going on in Scientology. I mean, you know, the whole policies of disconnection, all the money people have to pay to move up the bridge. I mean, it's crazy. What they do to people in the Sea Org. As in, if you're a member of the Sea, if you are a female and you are a member of the Sea Org and you get pregnant, they're going to force you to have an abortion.
Well, and the kids that go to the special camps are pretty much child labor.
Yep.
Because I think she said as a child she used like an industrial sander in all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else were some of the other things? She also talked about how everyone was expected to do incident reports on other people.
Yep.
And that apparently she had a whole bunch of incident reports filed on her at Tom Cruise and Natalie Portman's wedding.
Portman. It was
not Natalie Portman.
Katie Holmes.
Sorry. I don't know where Natalie Portman came from. Sorry. The Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise's wedding, because she asked about where someone's wife was.
David Miscavige is his wife, who's not been seen in public for 10 years by anyone.
So But yeah, she had like instant reports written up on her for asking about that by like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and different people. And I mean,
well,
I'm just like
got out, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I just can't. She said that even her husband, she said that she'd written up reports on her husband, or her husband's written up reports on her, and.
Mm-hmm.
She said when she decided, in the article I read, so when she decided to get out, she didn't know if her husband and her parents would follow her or not.
And apparently they did.
Yeah, they did. They ended up following her and getting out too. But apparently she, when she finally made the decision, she didn't know if they would or not.
Right. And that's why Scientology in some ways is so horrible.
I mean, for me, that sounds like a huge, I mean, it sounds like a cult, in a way.
It is.
Well, I guess
I mean,
actually it is.
Some people will say it is, and actually if you use the Bonowitz scale, it's a cult. If you use Stephen Hassan's bite model, it's a cult. I mean, if you use Lifton's thought control model, or thought reform model, it could be considered a destructive group. I mean, because that's the thing with Scientology. You just go down, for me, it's like going down. It's like check, check, check. Behavior control, check. Information control, check.
Oh, yeah, they're not allowed to watch anything in the media that's not a Scientology media outlet. Because everyone else is lying.
And they're not allowed to watch anything critical of Scientology. Because it's behavior control, information control. Thought control and environmental control. Look that up here, actually. I can tell you what.
And by the way, for those of you that don't know, I watched a documentary about Anonymous. And it pretty much,
yes.
Scientology is the reason Anonymous is the way they are today. Because they actually started out as like a prankster joke group. But then like they started attacking the Scientology. And that's how they pretty much became what they are today, with trying to out, you know, like, political stuff and everything. And it all started with Scientology.
Thank Scientology for that.
So for those of you that don't like Anonymous, you can blame Scientology.
So I just popped over to freedomofmind.com, and it's talking about the BITE model, behavior control, information control, thought control, and emotional control. And, you know, if you think about it, this is Stephen Hassan, and he was actually a member of the Moonies, but, like, he breaks his stuff down into those four categories. And I mean, it's good because like any sort of group, like if you're curious if a group that you're involved in is destructive, it's a really good thing, because like under behavior control, you regulate an individual's physical reality, dictate where, how, and with whom the member lives and associates or isolate, when, how, and with whom the member has sex, control types of clothing and hairstyles, regulate diet, food, drink, hunger, and or fasting, manipulation and deprivation of sleep, financial exploitation, manipulation, or dependence, restrict leisure, entertainment, vacation time, major time spent with group indoctrination and or rituals and or self-indoctrination, including the internet, permission required for major decisions, thoughts, feelings, and activities reported to superiors, rewards and punishments used to modify behaviors, both positive and negative, discourage individualism, encourage groupthink, impose rigid rules and regulations, instill dependency and obedience, threaten harm to family and friends, force individual to rape or be raped, instill dependency and obedience, encourage and engage in corporal punishment. That's all under behavior control.
information control. One is deception, and it's got three subcategories: withholding information, distorting information, or systematic lies. Number two, minimize and discourage access to non-cult sources of information, including internet, TV, radio, books, articles, newspaper, and other media. B, critical information. C, former members. Keep members busy so they don't have time to think and investigate. Control through cell phone with texting, calls, and internet tracking. Compartmentalize information into outsider versus insider doctrines. Ensure that the information is not freely accessible. Control information at different levels and missions within groups. Allow only leadership to decide who needs to know what and when. Encourage spying on other members, such as imposing a buddy system to monitor and control member. Report deviant thoughts, feelings, and actions to leadership. Ensure that individual behavior is monitored by group. Number five, extensive use of cult-generated information and propaganda, including newsletters, magazines, journals, audio tapes, YouTube, movies, and other medias. B, misquoting statements or using them out of context from non-cult sources. Number six, unethical use of confession. Information about sins used to disrupt and or dissolve identity boundaries. Withholding of forgiveness and absolution. Manipulation of memory and possible false memories. Under the thought control category, require members to internalize the group's doctrine as truth. So things such as adopting the group's map of reality as reality, instill black and white thinking, decide between good and evil, organize people into us versus them. Changing a person's name and identity, use of loaded language and cliches which constrict knowledge, stop critical thought, reduce complexities into platitudinous buzzwords, encourage only good and proper thoughts. Hypnotic techniques used to alter mental states, undermine critical thinking, and even to age regress the member. Memories are manipulated and false memories are created. Teaching thought-stopping techniques which shut down reality testing by stopping negative thoughts and allowing only positive thoughts, including denial, rationalization, justification, and wishful thinking, chanting, meditating, praying, speaking in tongues, singing, or humming. Rejection of rational analysis, critical thinking, or constructive criticism. Forbid critical questions about leader, doctrine, or policy allowed. Labeling alternative belief systems as illegitimate, evil, or not useful. And then the final thing is the emotional control. Manipulate and narrow the range of feelings. Some emotions and or needs deemed as evil, wrong, or selfish. Teach emotion stopping techniques to block feelings of homesickness, anger, and doubt. Make person feel that problems are always their own fault, never the leader's or the group's fault. Promote feelings of guilt or unworthiness, such as identity guilt, you're not living up to your potential, your family is deficient, your past is suspect, your affiliations are unwise, your thoughts, feelings, and actions are irrelevant or selfish, social guilt, historical guilt. Instill fear, such as fear of thinking independently, fear of the outside world, fear of enemies, fear of losing one's salvation, fear of being shunned by the group, or fear of others' disapproval. Extremes of emotional highs and lows, love bombing, and praise one moment and then declaring that you're a horrible sinner the next. Realistic and sometimes public confession of sin. Phobia, indoctrination, including irrational fears about leaving the group or questioning the leader's authority, no happiness or fulfillment from the outside of the group, terrible consequences if you leave, hell, demon possession, blah, blah, blah. Shunning of those who leave, fear of being rejected by friends, peers, and families, and there's never a legitimate reason to leave. Those who are weak are undisciplined, unspiritual, worldly, brainwashed by family or counselor, or seduced by money, sex, and rock and roll, and they are threats to harm to ex-member and family. So, I mean, that's just something, you know, and there's more on this website, so.
You sure you didn't read it all?
No, I didn't.
I'm just teasing you. So it is about time for us to take a break. So do you have a song picked out for us?
Actually, I do. It's a song by Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and the song is called Spirit of the Lake.
Yay.
We're back.
Yay, we're back. Sorry. Are we back?
We are back. We are back live.
Okay. All right. So, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I did want to bring up that there was a really cool two-part interview on the Wild Hunt with really cool pictures with photographer Alan Spears or Spires. He has a whole project that is called The Sabbath, and where he explores both the male form and both the male form and occult expression. And there are some really, really awesome pictures that are, I mean, just unbelievable. And the interview is about him and the project. And he actually asked if there was actual rituals going on during the photographs. And he said, of course. And they asked him, of course, how the models respond and stuff. And I'm not really going to go into it because it's something that you really should read and look at the pictures at the same time because they are unbelievable. Did you see some of them?
No, I've not.
Yeah, was the interview published? Actually, I just went off the page. When was it published? Sorry, it's a long article. I have to scroll through. It was published on Yule on December 21st. And that's when the second part was published. I don't know when the first part was published, but you can go to the 21st post that they did, and then it'll link you to the first part of the interview, which I haven't read all the way through, but I will be reading it all the way through because the artwork, the photographs are beautiful. So, oh, yeah, I forgot about this. This actually saw this happening as it was happening on Facebook. Witch Dr. Utu, who's one of my Facebook friends, was going to have a solstice ritual in concert at the Niagara Cannabis Club,
mm-hmm.
which is in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And he's part of Dragon Ritual Drummers, which we play mm-hmm. on here a lot, who are awesome. But the winter solstice celebration was canceled for being too overtly pagan. Okay, he booked it as the Winter Solstice Witches Mass and Concert. And it's an annual event, which they usually perform. And they decided to host it themselves this year. And they looked for a venue, found a venue, and they had no initial issues and were fairly excited at the notion of a whole pile of pagans ascending on their building. He said the club understood it was a pagan winter solstice celebration, and they even introduced him to a few pagans who were at the club that day. They apparently... right before the event, from what I understand, because I read the original post on Facebook, he was told, on December 16th, the day of the event itself, Utu says employee Abby Miller, who identified as Wiccan, sent Utu a message. She said that Kush instructed her to make sure that there wasn't anything dark happening at the ritual. Utu says she specifically asked about freaky idols. I decided to call and see what their issue was, but at this point I was surprised and started to wonder what was actually going on, what was the sudden change. He says that he explained to Miller that the ritual was a simple winter solstice ritual, open and inclusive, and didn't include anything dark or evil. He says the club responded that they hadn't known anything pagan was happening at the event. Kush and Miller confirmed that they were, in fact, concerned about the ritual. According to their account, they originally thought that the event was going to be a concert only. They said that the ritual was a surprise, and they learned about it only through Facebook on the day prior to the event. Miller said that over the phone, Utu described the ritual as consisting of individual dresses in black cloaks with daggers. They would sing and chant and pass a ceremonial goblet filled with wine around to symbolize the orgy part. Then at the end, they have a doll with horns or goat head and give thanks.
And according to both of them, this ritual seemed a little too dark for the club. They also were concerned that the working would focus on revenge, bringing unwanted negativity to their space. Kush says that they knew the group was pagan or Wiccan, but that they didn't know was that Utu practiced voodoo. As Kush explains, she learned this fact only after reviewing Utu's personal Facebook page and seeing photos from a private voodoo ritual held earlier that week in his basement. I let him know that we simply weren't comfortable with any of it and also were a little upset that he never once let us know or asked about this prior. Shortly after the call ended, Kush posted the cancellation on Facebook, writing, "Well, after checking more into this, we've decided to not that we are not having goats, heads, and baby dolls. Location will not be at this club." They said they haven't, Dragon Ritual drummers haven't encountered problems like this in the past and have performed at city events, parades, and other community events. So, it says the Niagara Cannabis Club and Kelly are all about promoting peace, positivity, and helping patients get the help they need. Everyone there, myself included, are more than open and love to experience new things. However, spreading negativity and misleading people is not something that we would welcome. But Utu has a different view of the situation. He says Dragon Ritual drummers never intended to have a goat head-related items in the ritual, nor was there going to be chanting or wine. He also says that he has a very clear idea on why the venue canceled the event. Despite a seventh-generation Wiccan in their midst, an event so overtly pagan was just too much for them. With remarks like goat heads and baby dolls, there is a clear bias there and an evocative assumption of what was going to happen. As much as I was upset, I offered to drop the ritual part, and just about everyone attending would have been equally disappointed, but it was now 2 hours before the event was to begin, and our folks were driving in from half an hour to an hour to 3 hours away. An attorney in Minnesota says situations where a venue is alleged to discriminate against a religious group are rare in Canada, and there are many variables to determine if discrimination took place. But it depends on the property rights of the club, if they've allowed other religious groups to use their facilities, and what their cancellation policy is. Since the cancellation, the club says that they have received no backlash, nobody showed up that night waiting for the show, and they would not have the problem with other pagan events. It is too bad. We were looking forward to meeting new people and having a winter celebration, just not wanting the voodoo part. We are really about peace and helping others. Okay, I can tell you right now that in his personal post, he never said anything about doing a voodoo ritual. I mean, he just said it was going to be a solstice mass. He never said, as far as I know, he never said anything specifically about voodoo. And even in his interview, he didn't really say, he said that he never said anything about that. And I know a lot of people on his Facebook page were upset. So kind of crazy. But yeah, I saw that go down on Facebook.
Wow.
Let's see, is there anything else going on, anything in the heathen community before we go on to upcoming events?
Well, I was going to say, on the Heathens United Against Racism, HUAR page, there is a lot of stuff going on. Talking about fighting against fascism and the alt-right, and there's a couple of really good articles up there. So if you're interested, find them on Facebook. I know they've got some field guides and stuff as far as spotting the alt-right and different things like that. And, you know, and of course, Ryan and the gang over there work really hard to put this information together and to make it, you know, accessible and easy to read and stuff. So it's worth checking out over there.
Okay. All right. So for upcoming events, January 4th at Akasha's Way in Fort Knox, Kentucky, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., there's a house blessing workshop.
Let's see. We also have Collective Conscious Healing Circle at the International or the Sanctuary Wellness Center in New Tampa in Tampa, Florida. It's brought to you by the International Metaphysics Center. The primary purpose is to participate in this circle is the way of honoring one another as collective human beings. Cost is $25 love donation. Or actually, wait a minute. Did I read that right? It says cost. Cost per person for the circle is a love donation of $25. Okay, I'm just making sure I read it right. Sorry. Let's see. There is also the Louisville Heathen Pub Move. Tell us a little bit about that, Ravenfire.
Okay, so we actually have had a venue change. It's going to be Friday, January 13th, and we are going, instead of going to be at Wick's on Bardstown Road in the Highlands, we are actually moving up Bardstown Road, more into Fern Creek. It's actually going to be at the corner of Hurstbourne and Bardstown Road, Hibachi Sushi Buffet. We actually have a private room there. We're kind of leaving Wick's, and a lot of it is that, you know, we kind of outgrown our space a little bit. Not only that, but, you know, this actually offers us a more private space, and it's a little bit quieter and a better place for us to kind of sit around and talk. But we are going to be at the Hibachi Sushi Buffet, and it's at the corner. It's on Bardstown Road. It's kind of at the corner of Bardstown and Hurstbourne. It's in that same shopping center as Big Lots and all of that. And we will be there as usual at 7 o'clock. You know, we haven't had a time change. We've just had a location change. So for all you heathen and heathen adjacent folks, come up, have some good sushi, some good Chinese food, and hang out with all of us Vikings.
Okay. And have you already updated the Facebook event?
Yes, actually, that was one of the other organizers. Of course, me and Ulf are two of the organizers. There's a third organizer, and that's Jason. And he's the one who actually updated the Facebook page. Him and Patrick Keith were the ones instrumental in actually securing this new location for us. So.
Okay.
But it is going to go on. Like I said, we thought that we were going to be moving locations after last month, and so now definitely we are. We've got a new spot, and we like the new spot. So
okay, and that's actually all I have pretty much through the end of January. There's not a lot of events going on right now.
Well, yeah, it's that time of year too where.
Yeah, there's a few things that pick up in February, but there's not really a lot going on in January right now. But if you have an event that you would like for us to announce on Tree of Life Hour, please contact us on our Facebook page. It is facebook.com/treeoflife, LOUKY. You can message us there and let us know about your event. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to discuss in the future, you can also let us know through message on there.
Yeah, please do.
And let's see, what is next week's show?
I thought I'm working on something still. I can't give
okay.
you I can't give that to you just as of yet, but I am working on something, getting something together here.
Okay. So watch our Facebook page.
Yes,
we'll
definitely
watch
our Facebook page. We'll let you know. And apparently my computer was not cooperating. It does this. There we go. So I guess it's time for us to say good night. Y'all be safe.
And
out
everyone
there.
Have a... And everyone have a blessed evening, and we'll talk to you next week.
And to take us out, I'm going to play a song by Arthur Hines. It's called Spirit Chant, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. are many, we are one, underneath the moon and sun. Connections, connections. We are many, we are one, underneath the moon and sun. Connections. We are many, we are one, underneath the moon and sun.
Hi, this is Raven Fire Doll with the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives. And have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something. Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.